Luke 17:5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So tonight I want to do a second installation of the faith factor. God bless you. Please be seated. Amen. The Lord seems to be speaking to our church about faith and what he can do through us. Last Wednesday night I taught on the faith factor. My focus was Joshua and Caleb, how those two men of the 12 spies sent to spy out the land of Canaan had faith in a whole culture of doubt, and they inherited the promised land while the 10 spies died in a plague and a generation of faithless people wandered and died in the wilderness till doubt died off and faith in the next generation lived. Amen. We never graduate from the school of faith. Faith is taking God at his word, believing that God will do what he said he would do. And as you read through the Bible, that you read, you see that God's people have always been outmanned and outgunned, but God shows up in supernatural ways, often what we think are unorthodox ways, to perform his will, to deliver his people, to demonstrate his power. So that was the faith factor. On Sunday, let me just say a couple more things because I have in my notes and media is waiting on me. I went through Hebrews, but I want to just give you a couple of verses in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders, the Old Testament heroes, obtained a good report. I think that this describes what faith is. It's evidence of something that you cannot see, and it is a substance of things you cannot hold. It's a medium of exchange in the kingdom of God. And when you don't have the answer, by faith you see it, you believe it. And that's why the Bible said it is the prayer of faith that saves the sick. It is prayer for something that will happen that has not yet happened. And then Hebrews 11:6, I think, is a definition of faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can have anything else in your life, but if you do not have faith, you cannot please God. Faith always shows up in obedience to God. And then he tells us what faith is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is not just believing that God exists, but it's believing that he exists and he has the power to reward you if you'll diligently seek him. Intellectual assent, believing that there's a God, doesn't save you. The Bible said the devil believes, the devils believe, and they tremble. They believe in one God, but they don't have saving faith, obviously, so their faith does not do them any good. In Old Testament Israel, what was preached to them was not mixed with faith. Faith is born of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You have to choose to believe the word of God, and the Lord will not force you to believe his word. So our eternal destiny hinges on our faith in God. If you believe God can, he will. But if you doubt God can, he probably can't because of your lack of faith. It's not his ability, but he works through faith in God's people. So I spoke about faith quite a bit. Sunday, I preached on we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 was our text on Sunday. And while we live in time, we live for eternity. And we went through Hebrews 11 some, the heroes of faith who saw an eternal destination. They saw themselves as pilgrims and sojourners on the earth. They talk like that. They see heaven. They don't look back. Amen? And they look for something better. That's who the people of faith are. Faith is not just different than sight. Faith is superior to sight. And I preached about Elisha and his servant, and the servant saw the enemy of Syria all around him. Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes, and he saw heavenly resources of horses and chariots of fire around in the mountain. So they that be with us are always more than they that be with them. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But we have to choose to believe. Amen. So that's kind of a review. I don't like to take a long time in review because we have media. You can watch the whole services. Now, the Bible said that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And the synoptic gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, the word synoptic means to view together. And they record Jesus teaching on the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13, the entire chapter is devoted to parables with principles of the kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching what the kingdom of God is like. Matthew 13, 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field. So he took this seed and he put it to work. Verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Jesus said the kingdom of God starts really small, insignificant. You could write it off. It seems like there's no power, no potential in that little teeny mustard seed. But Jesus, this master teacher, frequently told stories. He asked a lot of questions so he would engage his audience. He used common examples to explain kingdom principles. He often taught in parables. I want to talk about this parabolic method for a few minutes. Matthew 13, 1, the beginning of that chapter. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he goes into the first parable. So a parable is a literary device that's used to teach by means of transference. If I say that something is like this phone, you have to understand what this phone is like to understand what I'm trying to describe is like the phone. In order to discover the truth, the spiritual truth, you have to understand the real thing that's being illustrated. So Jesus taught in parables, and it's interesting that when he taught in parables, he said, I want to reveal truth to some people while hiding truth from others. And he spoke about this when the disciples asked him why he taught in parables. He said, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but it is not to them. Do you remember Jesus saying, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying? So we need to get what God is saying. You have to have an open heart. If you're going to have faith, you have to hear the word of God and believe it. And Jesus said, I've taught these things and they're not going to understand it. So Matthew 13, 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field. That was our text. You remember that. It hasn't been that long ago. Gets this little tiny seed. Verse 32, it's the least of seeds. When it's grown, it's the greatest of herbs. So we get that, right? It's a very tiny seed. The mustard seed, this little tiny seed is mentioned five times in the four Gospels. To a Jew, when you said mustard seed, it was a figure of speech, an idiom that referred to something that was tiny, really tiny and insignificant, the smallest conceivable amount of anything. From a botanical point of view, Jesus was probably referring, they say, to the black mustard seed, common agricultural crop in the Middle East. A mustard seed measures somewhere between 1 and 2 millimeters, or 1/32nd, or 3 to 3/32nds of an inch. And it's a very small seed. But Jesus said this itty-bitty seed, I would hold one up here. In fact, just pretend I have one. You wouldn't know the difference. It becomes a large plant. Verse 32, when it's grown, the greatest of herbs. That's not an oak tree. It's an annual. Doesn't really have a deep root system or bark or a trunk, but it gets so big that birds can come and build their nest in it. And what Jesus was saying, start small, grows big. And in this particular passage, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that's very tiny, but it grows into something that is really big. The kingdom of God is inconspicuous. It seems insignificant. The Bible said we should not despise the day of small things. This mustard seed is sort of like what Daniel saw in his vision, where a stone cut out of the mountain without hands becomes a mountain, fills the whole earth. That is the kingdom of God, another way of saying the same thing. If you take a baby born in Bethlehem, we would say that God reduced himself to a single cell. Mary was not an incubator. She contributed DNA to Jesus Christ. So God reduced himself to an inconceivably small form to be born of a virgin, born in a barn, born in the little town of Bethlehem. And then as a teacher, he had no power, had no throne, had no possession. He didn't own a thing, right, in this life. He was a borrower. But that kingdom of God that started like that in his ministry, we thought would end in a death, now it has changed the entire world. That's what Jesus was saying about the kingdom of God. And the main thing I want you to take away from that first story is that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. A mustard seed describes anything that is really tiny, and Jesus said it gets really big, so it starts like that. That's the kingdom of heaven. Now in Luke chapter 17, another example of the mustard seed, Jesus was actually teaching on forgiveness. And that's the context of this idea of the mustard seed in Luke 17. Luke 17, 3. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now it's important to know here that that person has to ask for forgiveness and then you should forgive him. And if he trespasses thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day he turns again to you and says, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, there's another place that 70 times 7, and in both passages, it probably means times without number. If someone slapped you in the face, lied to you, offended you, cursed you, about the second time, you'd be looking for another verse, like turn the other cheek, that you think gives you permission to hit back, but it doesn't. And that's not the point of that idea. Jesus says, if somebody wrongs you and they repent, they ask your forgiveness, times without number, but just stay 7, it's your responsibility to forgive them every time, even though you think they know better. If they ask, you have to do it. Now, this was really hard. And the disciples, verse 5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, it seems to me that you don't need more faith to forgive. You just need to obey. But the disciples are saying, you're going to have to help us with our faith. Because you just told us to forgive somebody you wronged us 7 times or times without number. And I don't know if we have enough faith to do that. Now, why do you need faith to do that? You have to have faith that when you release that person by forgiving them, you've turned them over to God. That you're not going to hold them liable at your judgment seat. You're going to let God take care of them. That takes more faith than you might think. When somebody's not doing right or someone's done you wrong and you want to hold them hostage to anger, bitterness, or unforgiveness, Jesus said you need to have faith in order to forgive. So I like to know what's behind a particular verse. So you can see why they said, Lord, increase our faith if we can believe this. Now, then Jesus launches into teaching on the mustard seed, verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, in other words, you're asking me to increase your faith, I'm telling you, you don't need much faith. You just need to have faith. And if you have a teeny bit of faith, something can transpire in your life that can give you faith to believe. And then he gives this example. Faith of the grain of mustard seed. You might say unto this sycamine tree, which would be a mulberry fig tree, a sycamore, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now that's saying a lot. This is not a mustard plant. It grows 10, some commentaries say 20 feet. It's not something that dies out. This is a tree. It was a mulberry fig tree, and you can read commentary on what kind of tree this really was. But it was a substantial tree, a big tree, a tree with a root system. Jesus says that it has a root system. A tree that is strong. And evidently, Jesus says, you shall say to this sycamore tree. So there must have been one right there that they were looking at. And they're talking about forgiveness. Now he transfers this idea to talk about faith that is really small, that has power over something that is really strong. Now, I know this sounds impossible, but that's the realm faith operates in. And I'm just quoting what Jesus said. The Jewish rabbis celebrated the mulberry tree as vast, having a deep root system. It was a tenacious tree, maybe a half a millennium lifespan. It lived a really long time. And the root system was really deep. It could go down a long, long way. Some people say 75 feet. And Jesus says, if you have faith, you can say to this sycamine tree, this mulberry fig tree, whatever it really was, be plucked up by the roots. Now, if a tornado came by, it might be able to blow it over. If you were a logger, you might be able to come cut it down. But what Jesus says is something different than that. He said, if you have faith, you can speak to this tree, and faith is so powerful that it can go, let's just say, 75 feet in the ground. It can pull this giant tree up by the roots. It can transplant it, and Jesus said, you can plant it in the sea. I don't know if anything, what that means, but he just said, you get rid of it. I thought of this before, and I'm going to say this by application, that sometimes when I'm really thinking right, I will pray about something here, and I will say, Lord, I need you to move it from here to there. You know, it's like casting the devils out of this demoniac into the swine, so you're praying that it goes from here to there. And remember, those devils said, please don't send us to the pit prematurely. Let us go into the swine. But when you pray, Jesus said, you're praying that something that is here will go there. It's going to move. Amen. Whatever could dislodge something like this tree, Jesus said, it's teeny weeny faith that is activated, released, spoken. Amen. That's what changes everything. A tiny seed of faith brings tremendous results, and it sounds like an exaggeration, like hyperbole, but Jesus said it is not the quantity of your faith, but it is the activation of your faith that makes all the difference in the world. A mustard seed, like any seed, is powerless until you plant it. And I don't care how much you know about the Bible or how much I may know about the Bible, but until I act on what I know, until I speak what God has planted in me, it's like a mustard seed that is dormant. Amen. I spoke about some conversions today. You know what made those conversions possible? Is someone spoke the gospel, and when the gospel was spoken, something was released. A power was released. Amen. If you hold your peace, if you hold your tongue, if you do not pray in faith, and speak in faith, nothing will happen. It will be like a mustard seed, just a teeny potential. But if you will plant it, if you will speak it, then it can be released and activated, and it will grow. Amen. It's amazing, the teachings of Jesus. Small faith, big results. Matthew 17. Here's another story. And I'll get to some verses on it, but I'm starting in verse 14. Multitudes come together. A certain man comes to Jesus. He kneels down and he said, Lord, I need you to have mercy on me. My son is a lunatic. He's vexed. He's got devils. He falls into the fire. Fire doesn't kill him. He falls into the water like he's trying to commit suicide. I brought him to your disciples to pray for him. They could not cure him. And Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. So they do. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that hour. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But he had given the disciples, even before Pentecost, power over scorpions and serpents, and he sent the 74 to preach, and devils were subject to them by the name of Jesus Christ. So they had power even before Pentecost. And by the way, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, the celebration of the Christian church. Well, the disciples, I don't know, I just think they might have been a little embarrassed. You know, if somebody brought a person to you and you prayed for them and nothing happened, they went over to someone else and they prayed and something happened. They waited till they were away. Verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus apart, away from everybody else, and nobody would hear this conversation. And they said, why can we not cast him out? What's wrong with us? Now Jesus said to them in verse 20, because of your unbelief. Now we can't measure that, and I can't hold it up in a picture tonight, unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Here's this crazy little mustard seed again. We've already been casting, you know, picking up trees and throwing them in the water, and the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. But now Jesus is saying that mustard seed faith, that you can say to this mountain. Now we're talking about something bigger than a tree, deeper roots, you could say, than a tree. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, once again, we're sitting here on a Wednesday night, Atlanta West. I don't know the realities of your life, but you may think this is really far-fetched. Where is this happening? I'm reading the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, teaching it tonight. This is the Word of God, that the mustard seed planted, spoken, is powerful. Faith as a grain of mustard seed is thriving and increasing faith. Verse 21, if you do not have a King James Bible, if you have the NLT, the ESV, the NIV, you may not even have a verse 21 in your Bible. But verse 21 said, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Some manuscripts don't have this verse, but Mark is a parallel passage, and it has this verse without question. So for anybody who wants to minimize prayer and fasting to produce power, I will tell you that Jesus said it. It's in the Bible, and I like it here in the King James and the New King James and the NASB and other translations that include this powerful verse. Jesus said that some things you need prayer and fasting in your life. Now, prayer and fasting is also somewhat intangible. When you fast, you get hungry. When I was a teenager, I was spending some time in fasting, just trying to draw near to the Lord, and I asked my pastor to help me because I didn't feel anything when he fasted. I've told you this before, years ago maybe, and my very kind pastor looked at me and said, Brother Darrell, when I fast, I don't feel anything either. Misery loves company, you know, made me feel so good that that's not the point. You're not supposed to feel something while you're fasting. If you do, that's a bonus. When you're fasting, you're killing something. You're killing your flesh. When you're praying, not all kinds of prayer, but when you're praying, you're probably not operating in the flesh. You're praying that God will do something. You're praying that there is this higher power of Almighty God that will act on your behalf. So prayer does not glorify the flesh, right? It glorifies God. Without prayer and fasting, this kind does not go out. I want to read it in Mark 9:29 in all of the translations. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. It's the same story that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about this demoniac and the power of prayer and fasting that I believe kind of brings the flesh into subjection so we can have greater faith in what God can do. Amen. Everybody say mustard seed. That's not how much faith you have. Jesus repeatedly said it's not what you have to start with, it's what you do with what you have. It's speaking it, it's practicing it, it's planting it, it is releasing it. So I want to share some truths about faith. I'll refer to several scriptures, but not read all of them for the sake of time. When the disciples were in the storm and he calmed the storm and they feared, Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? I want to talk about quantities of faith. So these disciples, having Jesus on board, didn't have faith that having Jesus on board meant that they would be okay. He had told them, we're going to the other side. And if you doubt that, then you have no faith. There are several times that Jesus addressed his disciples as having little faith. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:30. In Luke 12, where the Sermon on the Mount is in another form, Jesus says that you don't believe that I can take care of the necessities of your life, like food and clothing, and we could say shelter and all the things that the ungodly people, the Gentiles, seek after. And you don't know that you have a heavenly Father that loves you more than sparrows and will take care of you more than he does lilies and the grass of the field? Oh, ye of little faith, that you don't trust God for the necessities of life. Another time after he calmed the storm, Jesus said again, oh, ye of little faith. You may remember the story, all the Bible readers do, when Peter walked on the water and then he took his eyes off Jesus and saw the wind and the waves. And so now he got his focus on something other than Jesus. And the Bible said, beginning to sink. Now, I love that story, and I preached on beginning to sink forever ago. But, you know, when you get ready to sink, it happens pretty fast. I don't know if he was slowly sinking or Jesus was just that quick. And Jesus took him by the hand. But he's beginning to sink. Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, I'm walking on the water. Good gracious, nobody else has tried this but me. Right? Why don't you rebuke those guys that are still in the boat? I'm out here walking to you on the water. But, you know, if you think about why did he start doubting, is that he took his eyes off the source of his power. The only way he was walking on the water is he was looking at Jesus. And when he took his eyes off Jesus and saw the circumstances, then he began to doubt. Isn't that true in our lives? There's a lot of storms and wind and stuff that can cause you to doubt the Lord. But if you keep your eyes on him, you will have faith. Amen? He asked him, O thou of little faith, after two miracles of feeding 4,000 and 5,000 men, and the disciples were in a boat. Next Wednesday, I may talk about this story. They didn't believe that Jesus could feed them with not more than one loaf. And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. So no faith, a little bit of faith. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus speaks about this woman who had the issue of blood, Syrophoenician woman. And he said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in all of Israel. A woman, great, is the way Matthew 15 says it, great faith, amen. Stephen, that, you know, one of the seven who preached that long sermon right before he was stoned to death, in Acts chapter 6, the Bible says, 6 and 8, that Stephen was full of faith, amen. So faith must have dimensions or quantities. Stephen is full of faith and power. And here in our lives, Jesus is saying to us that even if all you have is a little bit of faith, if you will put that faith to work, you will see supernatural results in your life. Amen. My pastoral mentor, Brother Crabb, said that faith is the medium of exchange in the kingdom of God. It is coinage of the realm, someone said. It is how we have eternal transactions. We have faith in God. He makes exceeding great and precious promises, and we believe them. Amen. When those four friends of the paralyzed man broke off the shingles of the roof, pulled them back, and lowered their friend into the presence of Jesus Christ in a crowded house, the Bible said, seeing their faith. Now, how did they see their faith? It was by their action. They said, you know what? We got this guy. He's paralyzed. We got Jesus in the house. It's packed. People are at the door. There's no way to get in. Let's figure out a way to get our friend to Jesus. And their determination, they're going the second mile. Their effort was a demonstration that if they could get their friend in the presence of Jesus, that he would be healed. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, pressing her way through the crowd. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. She had faith that Jesus could do it, but then she expended great effort to position herself for Jesus to see her faith in action. Amen. He saw their faith. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood. Jesus said, thy faith that I just referred to, thy faith hath made thee whole. How was her faith demonstrated? Again, by her making up her mind, saying, if I could, she just saw that. Remember that visualization of faith? And it's not psychological, it's not mental, but it is what you believe, what God can do if you will act on his word. Mark 5:34, the same story. Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. In Matthew 9, there are two blind men. And Jesus said to them that according to your faith, let it be to you. In Mark's rendition of this, go thy way, that way thy faith has made thee whole. It is this action, it is belief, it is taking God at his word. It's taking this teeny portion of faith. Saying, Lord, I don't really have a lot of this, but I have faith in your word. So the farmer, he takes that teeny seed and he puts it in the ground and he trusts germination, processes that God created, that if he will just plant that seed, release it, that God will work with him and something great will happen. And our faith is like that. It is taking God at his word, acting on his promises, and seeing what God will do. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the heroes of faith, many of them saw great miracles in their life, and others died, were sawn asunder, were tortured. These all, though, died in faith. I'm not responsible for results. God is in charge of results. I'm in charge of taking God at his word and obeying him and believing that God will do what he said he would do. And whether my prayer is answered like I want it to be or not, sometimes we feel like we're on the line that if it doesn't happen, something was wrong with us. All I know is I believe God. He gave us promises in his word, and that seed is going to be powerless. My faith is not going to do anything as long as it stays bottled up in me. But when I act on it, when I release it, when I plant it, then God begins to work with me and in me, and power is demonstrated. The tree is uprooted and cast into the sea. The mountain is dug up, cast into the sea. Demons are cast out. People are healed and people are saved by the power of God because that small amount of faith is exercised. Mark 11:20. This is Mark talking about the fig tree. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Another story, Jesus curses the fig tree, and overnight it shrivels up and dies. When I told you all on Mother's Day, my wife likes plants. I'm her gardener, but I've noticed that if I don't water them, they start drying, but they don't just shrivel up like overnight. But this tree dies overnight and it withers away. And another gospel, from the roots up. Well, it says here, Mark 11:20. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. As if Jesus is like, oh, wow, that's crazy. I had no idea that was going to happen. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you saw me curse a fig tree, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And I love Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, here's an application, here's a take home. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. I'm not here tonight to do all of the fine print and all the exceptions for why things don't happen like we want them to. Pray according to the will of God. There's lots of other things. Tonight, I just want to tell you that why don't we just spend our lives walking in faith? Amen? I'd rather live in faith than die in doubt. So why don't we bring faith to every situation, circumstance, dilemma, sickness, problem, everything that we're facing that is beyond our human ability? Why don't we take it to the Lord in prayer? What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. Worship team can come, give us hope. You know, we have more faith than we know. We have faith in electricity. You can go to a light switch, or if you have Google Home or some other thing, you can say, let there be light. And you have faith that the lights are going to come on if the internet's working, right? You have faith in that. And the reason I'm saying that is because you believe that this works. You operate by faith in that switch. When you have go start your car, if you have a gasoline-powered engine and you ignite that fuel that's in there, you have faith most of the time that when you try to start your car, something's going to happen. We have faith in the financial system that transactions work. That when you use a debit card or a credit card or Apple or Google Pay or PayPal or Zelle or Venmo or whatever the thing they'll create tomorrow, that when you pay somebody, that money is going to move from here to there. Now, you wish it would move from there to here, right? But, and it works that way too. You request, right? But you believe that this system works, right? Now, that takes some kind of confidence. I don't want to say spiritual faith, but you know that's how things work. And how do things work in the kingdom of God? They work by faith. They work by taking God at his word. And regardless of how unspiritual you may feel on a given day, mustard seed faith, teeny bit of faith, that doesn't matter to God at all. What matters to God at all is that you say, Lord, you said that if I would speak it, plant it, release it, that now it's out of my hands and it's in yours. I'm going to do what you told me to do, and I'm going to trust you to do the rest. Amen? If you're able, why don't you stand right now? And why don't you give glory to God? And why don't you let him know that you believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. 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 We believe that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. We believe that when we are buried in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that our old nature is buried with him in baptism. We believe that when we come out of the water after repenting and being baptized, we're going to rise in the newness of life. Amen. When we pray with someone to receive the Holy Ghost, we believe that God is going to fill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, if you being of the world, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. That's what he says in Luke 11:13. We have faith in God. He will never leave us or forsake us. That he's begun a good work in us, he'll complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. We have faith that he's able to keep us from falling. We have faith that he will never leave us or forsake us. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is not different, it is better. It is superior, amen?